When sorrows encompass me round, and in the distresses I seem, as vanish I cry, can a mortal be found?
The Lord being our helper this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'd like to read the first seven verses. The first seven verses of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter. The scripture says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Lord being our helper this morning, I'd like to approach the subject of a proper perspective of old age. A proper perspective of old age. There are times whenever, if Brother Will stands before you and I speak from the Word of God, that there's examples from my own life that I can use to show you that the Word of God is true. Doesn't mean that it makes it any more true. It means that my experience in grace lines up with the Scriptures, and that my experience and the Scriptures themselves form a seal to show you something from the Word of God. There's times when that is the case. And whenever those things happen, I believe that you do well to listen to the minister of the gospel and to your pastor about what the Word of God is showing you. Here is one of those examples where Brother Will is not going to be able to take you and show you from my own life why the Word of God says these things about old age. By every practical example that I can give you, either by the world's comparison or either by the Word of God itself, I'm still young in my years. I'm still a youth when it comes to my age here in this world. But it doesn't make the Word of God any less true about what it speaks concerning a proper perspective of old age. I know the thought crosses people's minds whenever a man stands up and he speaks about something, and a lot of times people say, you have no idea you don't know what it's like because you aren't there. I had a man tell me not too long ago that I had no idea about some of the challenges that he faced because everything was rosy in my life. And he came up with every reason why he shouldn't listen to me, even though I was showing him from the Word of God what was right. And he said, you don't know because you're not in the shoes that I'm in. And you're right, I was not in the shoes that he's in. But I can tell you that there was one who has walked in every single one of our shoes, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is the author of this book. And because he's the author of it and he's walked in it, you and I are obliged to listen to it and to say it's right and it's true. I know the first thing you thought, a lot of, if you're young today, and I went to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, is Brother Will's about to get on us again about remembering our Creator in the days of thy youth and encouraging us to serve God while we're young. And you're right, that's going to be part of it, but that's not where our focus is and our mind is this morning. It's upon a proper perspective of old age. Because here the wise man Solomon goes through several descriptions of what it's like to be old and what's going to happen to us unless the Lord takes us before we grow old. And I tell you, you got to have a hope in Jesus in order to be able to look at a proper, dumped a bunch of water up here and I didn't know it was there. I apologize for that. But in order to be able to look at passing from this life as a blessing. You know, a lot of people say it's a shame he went so young. And I understand what they mean whenever they say that. But if you and I have the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, you and I can say without a fact, look at everything that the Lord delivered him from, which are listed, some of those things are listed here in these verses. The Lord lifted him before he faced a lot of these things that is in no doubt going to face us if we grow old. The Scripture says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days are few. And he goes through a description of what those evil days are. He talks about what the evil days that await us in our latter years. And there's a reason why that you and I look at those as being evil days. And it's because there's no doubt that because of our flesh was formed from the clay of this ground, that this flesh is going to grow old. Again, barring that the Lord does not take us first, this flesh is going to grow old and it's going to face infirmities. And whenever we face those infirmities, the only thing that gets us through them is looking beyond those things. And so again, a proper perspective of old age. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's what the theme of the whole chapter is. Even though we're going to go and look at a proper perspective of old age, it still comes back to why is it necessary to remember why you're young, why the evil days are few. He says, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The first description he gives us of old age, he says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He says that while you're young, there's light in this world. While you're young, your spirits are not low. Whenever you grow older, I don't know about you, but when I can remember visiting my grandmother whenever she was in the nursing home, and there'd be days whenever I go in there, and it'd be so beautiful outside. I'd ask her, I'd say, do you want to go outside? Do you want me to, let's go outside and let's go talk outside. And instead of wanting to go and talk outside, all she wanted to do was draw the blinds. And she says, no, I'm okay in here today. I can remember I'd take her CDs of old Baptist sermons. And this comes from a lady that did not listen to the radio. She kept sermons in her car. And that's what she listened to going to and from town. And even though it wasn't 10 miles, it took her a long time to get there and a long time to get back. And we all know why that is. But nevertheless, it's because she loved to hear those certain things. But here, as her days were drawing to a close, there were days whenever she just wanted to draw the shades. It didn't matter how light it was outside. It was because her spirits were low. And just as her spirits were low, so will be our spirits. Because we'll, again, in these bodies, in this flesh, there's no way to protect them, no way to perfect them this side of glory. And her spirits were low. And the Lord says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, whenever your spirits are still high, whenever you still rejoice. Me and Brother Bruce were standing outside the other day, Brother Chase, whenever you came walking outside the church. You were singing. Don't know about it, if you knew, remember it or not. There wasn't nobody around, but me and Brother Bruce were standing out here. And Brother Chase comes walking out, and he's just singing a hymn. And I was thinking to myself, that's a good sound. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him sing hymns. Is any merry among you? It's because there's light in your world. It's because your spirits have not drawn you low. You're not down about your condition here in this world. You're rejoicing in what the Lord has given you. And the reason why the Scripture says to remember now thy creators in the days of thy youth is because those days are not dreary. Those days are full of rejoicing. Those days are full of pitter-patter upon the floor. And that's what awaits you every day, is hearing the feet of your children run across the floor. And I tell you, I can remember being a child. And I can remember those days of whenever we went into my mom and daddy's bedroom on Saturday morning. And I remember them thinking, boy, I wish I could just get a few more minutes of rest. Just a few more minutes of rest. Because it was that pitter-patter that woke them up. It was us crawling on them saying that we had this and that plan for that particular day. But I guarantee you go and you ask them now. And they'll tell you about the best days of their life. I tell you, we're living in it. A lot of us are in that stage where we're in our youth, where we're doing those very special things that we're going to, I pray, remember for the rest of our life. And the Scripture says you remember your Creator in these days because they're special days when the evil days are few. There's few now. But the Scripture says that there's coming a time when there's not going to be a few, where there's going to be more, when your spirits are going to be low. He says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. You know, the dark and the gray days, they seem to be more and more. They seem to return even after the clouds have lifted, even after the rain has ceased. They're still gray in the eyes of the old. And you say, Brother Will, there's nothing positive looking to that. You're going to have to stay with me through this one. You're going to have to stay with me in order to get the positive sign of a proper perspective of old days. Whenever you're old, there's a lot of things that you take for granted now that whenever you get old, you can't do anymore. And one of them is the blessings of a bright day. The blessings of wanting to be out in the sunshine and rejoicing in the creation of the Lord. You know, I can remember Sister Versal visiting with her. It did my heart good right on up until the time where she couldn't anymore. Every time whenever I would go over there, one of the things that she wanted to do is she said, I want to go out on the porch and I want to watch the squirrels. I want to go out there, I want to watch the birds. She wanted to go out and witness some of God's creation. And that's a blessing from the Lord that, hey, you've got a lady who faced so many physical infirmities, but yet she wanted to enjoy those things. I believe it's because she remembered her Creator while she was young in the days of her youth, to the point where she could rejoice in some of those things even while she was old. But she says, the Scripture says, the wise man Solomon says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers of the house shall tremble. You know, Scripture refers to our bodies as a house. If this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, is what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He refers to our bodies as a house. And yet we have a keeper of the house. I believe this is pointing right to our nerves. What is the keeper of our house? It's our nervous system. It's something that keeps us from doing things that we know in our, whenever we instinctively see it, that we don't do it. It keeps us from danger in this world. How many times have you had to, whenever you've touched something that's hot, to correlate orange with hot? It doesn't take but one time. It doesn't take but one time to touch a burning stove and for it to be orange hot for a child to touch it, that they know that symbolizes burn. It hurts. And they're able to relate that because it's their nerves that teaches them. It's as soon as they were to put their hand on it, it's immediate pain. It's something that they can relate to, and it's the keeper of their house. It's their instinct. It's their nerves. And I tell you, the Lord's blessed you as a young person to be able to have a good nervous system, to be able to know danger, and to be able to know whenever you see something, to be able to relate it to your mind. It's the keeper of your body. Not only that, think about whenever you're driving down the road and navigating a roadway. You're able to see things as a young person. No, not as a 16-year-old. No, you see no danger at that age. We've all been there. I'm not talking about that young. I'm talking in the age where you're out of the adolescence, where it's cool to burn gas and squeal tires. You know, I can always tell whenever somebody's buying their own gas. You know, you can tell. You can tell by the way somebody starts a vehicle from a parking lot or either starts it from a red light, whether or not mom and daddy buys their gas or they still buy their gas. Because if they romp down, and guess what? They ain't paying for gas because it don't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them. They just burn a half a gallon right there in one little spurt. They're not using their minds. I'm not talking about that sort of youth. I'm talking about mature youth, a mature mind in your service to the Lord. And He says that in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and that is whenever your instincts and your mind can relate to what you see out there in front of you, danger. I tell you, there's a lot of things that what happens to a person whenever they get old, they begin to shake. Their nerves begin to shake. They begin to shake whenever they try to stand still. What is it? The keepers of the house are trembling. They begin to shake because they don't have those blessings anymore. They don't enjoy the blessings that a young person does. They don't enjoy the peace of mind of knowing that whenever you're going down a road and you see danger ahead, you've got plenty of time to react to it. Instead, a lot of times the elderly person driving down the road, it's all they can do to just focus on the road in front of them. It's all they can do. They don't enjoy those. They're keepers of their house are trembling. They're trembling in their own flesh. And they're, again, looking back and looking forward to the better days that they've passed behind and the better days that lie ahead. He says that whenever we get old, that there's some infirmities that are going to come upon us. Our spirits are going to be low. The keepers of our house, the keepers of our body, our nerves are going to begin to shake and get to us. Things that before we used to just take for granted will become challenges to us. He refers to the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men shall bow themselves. Another infirmity of old age is that we begin to, our bones and our shoulders begin to bow themselves. We begin to, this flesh begins to deform in a way that causes us to bow. There's certainly no shortage of examples. And again, you say, Brother Will, now you got to watch that you don't pick on. I'm not picking on old people. Now, that's not the point here. That's not the point. It's not to pick on old people. It's to keep a proper perspective of what's going to happen to us in the flesh. The Scripture says that the strong men shall bow themselves. They become bowed in the back. Why? Because for those many years, either through some type of employment or even through just their carrying their natural weight themselves, they've carried around so much in this world that it begins to take a toll on them in their latter years, and they begin to bow themselves. That which used to be strong, the strong men shall bow themselves. Those shoulders that used to be so strong. I can remember as a child seeing my daddy do things and carry weights that I know he can't carry today. And it doesn't mean that I'm silly enough to try him and to say that I want to do this and do that as far as a wrestling match. We joke about it, but nevertheless, I can remember seeing him carry feed sacks and things like that I know he can't carry anymore because his strong men have bowed themselves. His legs have continued to bow themselves lower and lower. And that's what will happen to us here in this world. And it's painful whenever your bones and your body that was once shaped one way begins to become deformed in another. These are painful things. These are not easy challenges to face. And that's the reason why the Scripture refers to these infirmities as being evil days. It's because they're not easy. It's not easy to face these things that we have to face that are coming in our way. He says, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Whenever we chew something up, what do? We grind it. Some of us chew more than others. I need to chew more. One of the problems I got with my stomach is I don't chew it. I can remember as I growing up on the farm, and I was always the youngest one. And I thought I had to eat just as fast as those boys that were twice my age. And I learned how to take a sausage and egg sandwich, and I could chew it one time and swallow it. I guarantee you, I could throw a bite in my mouth and chew it about once and then swallow it. And it's caused me so much stomach trouble now because I don't use my grinders. I don't use my grinders. But what happens to us as we grow older? A lot of times our teeth fail us and they fall out. You know, one of the worst whippings I ever got at church was because we had a dear brother, a saint of God, in our church growing up, Elder Ralph Ryan, who could offer one of the sweetest prayers of any man I've ever heard pray before in my life. And I can remember as a child, because he had a set of false teeth, he whistled in his prayer. He whistled. That's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people who have false teeth, they don't learn how to talk with them as good as they have with their real teeth, and they whistle through those teeth. That's the reason why my grandpa wouldn't wear his, because my daddy and my uncle made fun of him one time for whistling right whenever he got them brand new, and he would never wear the things again. But nevertheless, he whistled whenever he prayed, and I can remember that me and my cousins, instead of recognizing the prayer for what it was, every time he whistled, we whistled. And all it took was just a little tap on my shoulder and a pointed finger. And I knew what was going to come afterwards. And I got it. And it was because his grinders were gone. It's because they weren't there anymore. It's because he was old age in this world. He says he calls them the evil days are few whenever we're young. These things are infirmities that the elderly face day after day after day. And these things are reality. It's not something that's made up in the Scriptures. You all know them as well as I do. He says, while the grinders are few, it means that they don't have the teeth that they once had. They don't even enjoy the meals that they once were able to enjoy because their grinders are few. I can remember watching my grandpa because he wouldn't put those false teeth in. He loved to eat, and he refused to back down off of a steak or a ham or anything else. And he would just chew it. It wouldn't chew up. He couldn't chew it up with anything. He would just chew it. And then he would have to spit it out after he chewed on it for a while because he refused to give up. He wanted the taste of the steak, Brother John, but he couldn't chew it up to the point where he could swallow it. Tell me that those days are not labeled evil for a reason. It's because there are infirmities that come in our flesh that are challenging unto us. And the reason why the Scripture says serve God while you're young is because those are the good days in your life. While the evil days are few, instead of these day after day challenges that faced you, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Not only is He the Creator of this world, He's the Creator of you in the new birth. He gave you, you're a new creature in Him. He's made you a new creature. He that hath wrought us for this self-same thing is God, is what the Apostle Paul says. You have been wrought, you have been created, you have been made in the image of your Savior. And he says that you ought to remember him while you're young. He says, those that look out of the windows be darkened. Their eyesight begins to fail. Their eyesight begins to fail. One of the challenges of getting old is that your eyes are not as good as they used to be. One of the things that I'm thankful that I haven't gotten to yet, and I say yet, I know it's coming because my eyesight is not as good now as it was even 5 years ago. I can remember I used to be able to see a gnat sitting on a sign from it seems like 100 paces away, but now I can't see that. I ain't got to the point where I need glasses yet, I don't think. That may be one of those things that we're putting off an appointment for, but nevertheless, it says that those that look out of the windows, they're darkened. The sight is not as good. The sight is not as good. You know, not only should we see here in these things the challenges of old age, but look at the blessings that God has blessed us with here in this day and time to be able to overcome some of these things. You know, we're quick to mention just how depraved of a society that we live in, and just how we live basically in a misfit society. And we're quick to mention just a lot of the negative things about the times that we live in. But never forget that there's a lot of positive things about the times that we live in. A lot of these things that years ago would have prevented somebody from ever being able to read again, we have eyeglasses now. A lot of these things that we see in these verses, it says that their grinders are few. What do we have now? We have the ability through our God-blessed dental technology to be able to have a set of teeth, to be able to overcome some of these things. We have medications that help us with our nerves and help us with these things. And these are all blessings from God. And we should see that here in these physical infirmities that come upon us, that that the Lord has still blessed us even in the midst of it. But a proper perspective is needed of old age. It says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. It means your opportunities begin to cease. Doors begin to shut. You know, as a young man, as a young person, you have all kind of opportunities. You have this door opening, this door opening, and this door opening. You know, one of the things that I continue to try to encourage people with today is not to think of the doors that are open before you is the Lord telling you that only one way is going to be the way that He's going to bless. The Lord has blessed me so much in times past where I look back and I see that He opened several doors before me. And He's given me the impression and burden upon me to say, I'm blessing you so much that you can choose which one. And I'll bless you in either way. And you say, now, Brother Will, that's speaking. No, it was not because of Brother Will. It's because of the Lord's sure mercies upon me. That the Lord has opened doors for me before, and I look back upon it, and I look and see how either one would have been blessed. That the Lord was in the matter to the point where He's going to bless it, either one. But the Scripture says that whenever you go old, that the doors begin to shut in the street. He says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. Who's out there today? And if you're out there wanting to enter into the corporate world or wanting to get a job here or a job there, what are they? If you send in your resume and you put on there, and one of the things that, you know, and I say this knowing that if you're discriminated against age, they'll get you for it. But nevertheless, what are the things that they try to discourage? They don't want old ones in there. They don't want old ones in there. We want new blood. We want new things. While we're young, all these doors open up. Whether it be through job opportunities, whether it be through college admissions, all these doors open up. You have all these opportunities as young people. And the Scripture says that you're going to get to a point in your life where these doors are going to begin to close. A lot of these opportunities that used to present themselves are not there anymore. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days are few. What does that mean? That means take advantage of those opportunities while you have them. Because there may come a time when you don't have them anymore. When those doors don't open for you like they used to. Things that used to come so easy. Things that used to just, we used to just take for granted. They don't happen anymore. The doors begin to close in the streets. You don't have the influence that you once had. Because again, you're just somebody old that doesn't really know what they're talking about. That's the way that this world looks at older ones. We don't really want to take his counsel because he's just old. He's just old. There's no wisdom there. He's just old. It's the way that the world looks at it. And so those doors and those gates, they begin to shut in the streets. They begin to close off for you in the streets of this world. He says that not only do the doors shut, he says when the sound of the grinding is low. We've already talked about our eyesight leaving us. Our ears begin to cease from capturing every whisper from across the room. You know, our parents, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was young, it didn't take much of a peep for it to be heard a long ways away. Because you always want to wait till they get out of hearing distance before you add that one little back talk. That one little word that you just are so wanting to get out that you got to wait till they get out of hearing distance. And then when you think they're gone, you whisper it. But they turn around and they say, "What'd you say?" I tell you what, that's a sword piercing through you whenever you've been heard. But there'll come a day when they don't hear like that anymore. When they don't hear like that anymore. There's times whenever my grandmother's sitting with us and we'll carry on a whole conversation. And sometimes forget that she's just sitting there peaceful minded. She hadn't heard a word of it. And a lot of times she doesn't care. You know, she's just minding her own business and that's just the way she is. You know, a lot of people, I think that's a blessing in and of itself. A lot of people are so nosy that there's no way they'd sit anywhere if they couldn't hear what was going on around them. But she sits there and she minds her own business. And then we'll ask her a question and she'll just won't even look at us. And we'll, it'll have to cross our mind that the grinding of the ceasing, the sound of the grinding is low. That she can't hear like she once did. That she can't be a part of things like she once was. It says that he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. I can remember whenever I was younger, one of the things that I looked so forward to was whenever I finally got away from that farm. I said to myself, on a Saturday morning, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to know what it's like to do what a lot of my friends do. Whenever they talk about they don't wake up, the first meal that they have is lunch. I can tell you that until I was married in 2002, at the age of 22 years old, I never knew what it was like to sleep in on a Saturday morning. Because even when I went off to college, I still had to get up for some sort of practice or something else. There was always something going on. But the Scripture says that whenever you're young, you say, "I can't wait to get old, I'm going to sleep in." But then when you get old, what happens? You can't sleep anymore. You can't sleep like you once thought that you'd be able to. This says that he wakes at the sound of a bird. That means he wakes up at the slightest little sound. Sure, they might catch a cat nap here and there, but no, they're not have that sweet rest. Like what the Lord blesses a young person to be able to have whenever they're carefree in their mind and they can just have that sweet rest. He wakes at the sound of a bird. And he's awake and can't go back to sleep. And those are the infirmities of an older person, is they can't sleep like they once did. Sure, the Lord blessed us here in this day and time to be able to have the medication to overcome it. But naturally, we face the challenge of not being able to rest. He says he awakes at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Some of you have got voices like a bird. You can sing. Have you ever just sat there during a hymn and wandered off and just said, "My mind ain't in it this morning. I'm just not really wanting to be here today." And instead of singing, I'm going to flip through the book or do whatever. There's going to come a time when your vocal cords will not have the decibel level that they have now. And you won't be able to sing like you can sing now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The reason why he says you use those while you have them. Because there's going to come a day when those cords are going to be brought low. Every morning I call my daddy in the morning. He clears his throat several dozen times on the phone. Drives me crazy. And it's because whenever he was younger, he was loud. Whenever he was coaching, he was loud. Whenever he was doing something, he was loud. And his vocal cords have rattled to the point where in the morning until he gets going, he has to clear, clear, clear. They've been brought low. And I tell you, while we're young in this world, we need to use what God has given us to His glory. I believe He's given me a loud voice. And if the Lord will be with me and bless me to be able to do it, I want to preach the gospel while I'm young. I want to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There may be a time whenever, like Elder Harold Hunt faced throat surgery to the point where he was brought where he couldn't speak. I wonder how many times that crossed his mind. That he came and there he is elderly. And yet I can't speak. He couldn't speak for over 6 months. I tell you, you feel like Zacharias, the daddy of John the Baptist, where the Lord used him and said, "I'm going to silence you because of your doubt." I tell you, a lot of times in this world, I wonder if I'm remembering my Creator as I should in the days of my youth, while the evil days are few, when the Lord is blessing me with good health and with joy in my life. I tell you, it's important. It's important to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says that the daughters of the music shall be brought low. I tell you, the Lord ought to use what God has given you to the point where you sing with that melody and use that voice to the glory of God. You know, a lot of people will encourage you, you know, to come up with some kind of music ministry and all this kind of stuff to be able to use something that God has given you in the days of thy youth. I'm just telling you to use it when you come to the house of the Lord. That's your music ministry. I tell you, if somebody asks you, do the Primitive Baptists have a music ministry? Say, yes, I am a minister of music at the Primitive Baptist Church. I sing on Sunday mornings. Your pastor's even blessed to be able to be a minister, the minister of music. You're blessed to be able to be a minister of music. We all show up here, and in our service to God, which is what a minister is, in our service to God, we sing hymns. And the Lord bless us to be able to sing them so that we'll recognize that there may be a time when the daughters of our music shall be brought low. He says, and also they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. Fear. Fear. You ever watched a grandparent around grandchildren versus the parent around their children? They have a watchful eye over them like a hawk, a grandparent does. Whereas the parents are just kind of, they're just kids. Just let kids be kids. I can remember whenever I was a kid, my grandmother, she followed me around in the churchyard. I can remember after lunch, she didn't eat a bite. She didn't eat a bite. Because all the grandchildren were out there, she went out there with the grandchildren. Here she kept us huddled up like a bunch of hens. A hen does a bunch of chickens out there. And I can remember at the time, my parents joked and picked on her about that. Because there they were, sitting in there, still eating lunch, having conversations. The kids are just outside being kids. Yeah, we threw berries at one another, could have poked each other's eye out. There's a highway there now. That if it was anything like what it is back, if it was back then what it is now, folks driving 75 miles an hour by, and it was closer than from here to our driveway out there. And there we were just out there playing. There we were just out there. You know, you don't worry about things like that whenever you're young. But whenever you become older, those fears cross you. I get warning after warning after warning every morning whenever I call my daddy about what, all it took was for him to see on the news the other day up in Forsyth County that they had bears in a neighborhood. And now my kids can't even go in the backyard. He's calling up and saying, don't let your kids out there in the backyard. There's bears there. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, there's goats over there. Maybe they'll go over there and get them instead of bothering with my kids. But I mean, I know that there's bears there, but I'm not going to lock my children up. But there's fears. There's fears that an older person faces. There's things that we used to just let come and go what may, that don't go anymore like that. Whenever you become older, you begin to worry and worry and worry about things. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days are few. While you're not worried about all that stuff. Because you're able, with the memory that you have, you're able to look back and see the providential hand of God guiding you in those times. And I tell you, it's good for a child to learn to depend upon the providential hand of God. It's good for him to experience things here in this life so that he learns to lean upon the one that's truly watching over him. Sure, we have caretakers in this world, but none that compare to our Father which is in heaven. There's a reason why that the Lord didn't give grandparents children. There's a reason why. It's because that worry, that's not good. It's not good to shelter them. It's good to let them experience some things out here in this world. He gave them to parents to keep up with too. To keep up with too. And he says, and the almond tree shall flourish. If you've ever seen an almond tree flourish, you've seen white buds upon that tree. And he's speaking here about the color of our hair. And the color of an elderly person's hair, it begins to shoot forth with white or with gray. These are some of the things that an older person faces. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Again, the little things. A little grasshopper is a burden to them. Just something, anything small. A lot of the tasks that I had over in Cherokee County, it's a lot different over here in Bartow. Over here in Bartow, you pretty much have to watch out for your head because nobody really likes the department that I work in over here. So that's more or less what I do over here. But when I was over in Cherokee, I spent a lot of time, I'd go out and I'd have to meet with elderly people. And their neighbor could be a half mile up the road doing something that ain't got nothing to do with them, but it worries them. They're worried about it. I went out and met with one lady, and this man was, he was a good 300 yards up there putting a pipe to discharge his roof drains into Lake Allatoona. And he was putting it in because he got tired of the roof drains causing ruts in his yard. Didn't have anything to do with her. I was out there for 2.5 hours trying to explain it to her. It became this little thing. It was nothing. And that's what I tried. But you don't tell them it's nothing. Oh, you want to start a fire. You don't tell them it's nothing. But these little things become big to them. It's something that they just continue to fester upon. And they don't know how to let it go. But any young person could look at it and just say, you know, it's fine. But this little grasshopper becomes a burden to them. These little things begin to matter to them. He says that not only shall the grasshopper become a burden, it says, and desire shall fail. That means that the drive that they used to have to do one thing or another begins to cease. It begins to fall away. It's not the drive that they once had. Caleb is not the example of most of the elderly people. Caleb, as 84 years old, stood there and said, "Give me therefore my mountain." That is not the mindset of most people at that age. It's they don't have that desire anymore. They're starting to relinquish it. They're starting to ease off in that regard. He says, "And the desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." A proper perspective of old age. You say, "Brother Will, you've given about as many negative impressions of an elderly person as can be given." I didn't give them. The Lord gave them. And He says that these things face us in this world. That can either be your thoughts about old age, or what's the next verse start with? Or. You know, there's not a wasted word in this Bible. Whenever you see "or," a lot of people will just read right over that "or." A lot of people see "but," and they miss the whole point of the Scripture because they overlook just a small portion. If you'll remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and you'll establish your mind towards spiritual things, you can have a proper perspective of old age. And instead of just focus upon all those things that face you. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that they fight old age. I mean, look at the Hollywood example of the surgeries that people have. They fight with every ounce of their being any sort of age, any sort of reflection that's going to show that they're aging. Why is it? Because they don't have a proper perspective of old age. Everything about old age to them is negative. Everything. It doesn't make it less true. It doesn't mean that any of these things aren't true. I'm not saying that they're lying. Sure, a lot of these things, they're coming. And they're infirmities of our flesh. But we could be part of the "or." We could be the ones that look, and because we've remembered our Creator in the days of our youth, "or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken." Or either we can look at old age like this: we're close to meeting our Maker. We're close to meeting our Maker. That's what old age is supposed to mean. The silver cord being loosed. And this body being broken and going back into the ground. And the mourners go about the street. He says, "or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken." You know, there's one that can differentiate between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And that's Jesus Christ. That's God Almighty Himself. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, let's go over there and let's read that, because I quote that all the time. Sometimes I wonder if we ought to go over there and actually read it. Because what He's teaching us here, or, we can either focus upon that, or we can focus upon this. He says in verse 12, "For the word of God is quick." Now, I'm going to read on through verse 14 because I want to make sure that we understand what word that's talking about. It says, "For the word of God is quick." You know that about 99.9% of people that believe in Jesus in this world think that that's talking about the Scriptures that we have before us. They do. A lot of people read that and says, "For the word of God is quick." They believe that this Bible is alive. It's alive. And all you've got to do is read it in order to have life in you. All you got to do is believe the words in it in order to have the life in you. People who proclaim a belief in Jesus believe this is talking about the Bible itself. But if you'll stay with me, we'll look and see what word this is talking about. For the word, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, comma, and of the joints and the marrow, comma, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, before I show plainly what word that is, let me tell you this. What does that scripture teach us is that this word can pierce even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, comma, and of the joints and the marrow. That means that this word can differentiate between soul and spirit and body. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, another reason why we shouldn't believe that that's talking about the Bible is the Bible one that can differentiate, or this book that's before us, can it differentiate between soul and spirit and body? No, it can't. But it plainly shows us there that there's one who can. He can differentiate between what is soul and spirit and what is body. And he continues on to establish who this is that it's talking about. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. And who are these verses talking about? Seeing that we have a great high priest which is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. This is the living Word of God. This is not the written Word of God. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And all the way back in the book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter, the wise man Solomon said, or you can look at old age like this. The silver cord is going to be loosed. He's going to take that soul that's in you right now, that soul that's His, that soul where He dwells, and He's going to take it home to be with Him. And that golden censer is going to be broken. This flesh is going to go back to the ground in which it was formed. What way do you look at old age? Do you look at it with all the negative infirmities that are bound to come? And they will come. But what will keep us through it? What will drive us through those times? Is it focusing upon just how bad those things are? Or focusing upon where we're bound? The Scripture refers to it back in the book of Ecclesiastes as being our long home. Our long home. We sing a hymn that says, Jerusalem, my long sought home. My home in heaven above. And the reason why we can focus upon that through these infirmities, not only the infirmities of old age, but any infirmity that may face us here in this world, is to focus upon our long sought home. Whenever our silver cord will be loosed, and whenever the Lord takes that where He dwells home to be with Him. You know, whenever the Lord breathed life into man, He breathed it into his soul. That means that soul has to live on somewhere. It won't die ever because it was made and created by the Lord breathing life into it. But the flesh itself will be buried. Will be buried. Or either will be in the sea or be in a fire somewhere consumed. The flesh itself will cease to exist here. That golden censer is broken. Again, the Scripture refers to our bodies as being a house, as being a place that Jesus made. And He says here that golden bowl will be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. You know, in this life, we need a pitcher for our spiritual blessings to carry them around with us in this world. We need something to carry around our blessings from the Lord in here in this world. You know, that's what we bring to the church house. I pray you bring a pitcher with you, so that whenever you leave here, you've got a source of blessings from the Lord above. And that's what gets you from week to week is the presence of the Lord with you in that pitcher. But you know, when you're in the presence of Him forever, you don't need that pitcher anymore. You don't need that sustains you and keeps you in this world anymore. It'll be broken. It'll be of no use to you anymore. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe with every ounce of your being that there's coming a day when you awake in the presence of your Father in heaven? Do you believe that? You know, sometimes we forget. The reason why it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, is because in your youth, it's easy to forget that. And when you forget it in your youth, and you don't become established with it in your youth, all these infirmities that you face when you get older will overcome what you could have had in your mind if you'd have remembered it while you were young. If you would have become established in it while you were young, it would have overridden any of those negative thoughts about what old age is. Old age is a challenge, and I'm not belittling it today. I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy. The Scripture refers to them as evil days. But what will keep you and sustain you through that? It is the thought that you're closer to glory. You're closer to glory. I don't know when the Lord's returning. I'd be a little bit speculative of anybody who stood before the Lord's people and said that they did know. I don't know when it's going to happen. I tell you, I can't for the life of me, no matter how much prophecy I see throughout the book of Daniel, no matter how much prophecy I read in the book of Revelation, the only thing I can see that I can tell you for sure is that He's coming. That's the only thing that the minister of the gospel can tell you for sure, is that He's coming. That's the only thing I can give you confidence in, is that it's going to happen, but I can't tell you when. But I can tell you, until He does, that there's a precious thought that we can have in our minds, and that is that we'll live forever with the One who died for us. Even in the Old Testament, some, I guess if we were to throw a time frame on it, some 900 years before the Lord of glory was born, the wise man Solomon was writing these things unto the people of God. It says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." God gave man his spirit. It'll return unto him. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For the Lord himself, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, and that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." It doesn't say not to sorrow. Neither did Solomon tell us here in these words not to sorrow. It says they'll be sorrowing in the streets. But he says that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a trump, with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The older you get, the closer you come to facing and seeing the One that we'll see on that day if He comes while we're still alive. But while we're young, let's remember our Creator so that these thoughts will prevail whenever the infirmities of old age certainly overcome our flesh. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
There's a word that is straight leading up to the gate of that home up in heaven above. When we land on the shore, pagans all will be all. We will dwell there in peace and love. Someday, when this song.